Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Welcome to the renowned Radio Newark Sport, and we are live from the wonderful new clubhouse here at Newark Rugby Club for the final night of the Newark and Sherwood Sports Awards 2018. I'm Mick Bradley, he's Tony Smith, and in tonight's specially extended show, we crown the junior sportsperson, the junior team, the coach, and the volunteer of the year, and then we add to the 18 exclusive names on the roll of honour. It's going to be a very special evening. We're on for an extra half an hour, and it comes with a word of warning for everybody. Handkerchiefs will be needed. Are you ready, Mr. Smith?
Yeah, I'm a bit alarmed about the extra half hour. This has got to be back in Burton's window at 9 o'clock.
Now you can see why Burton shut down in Newark. To oversee the whole evening, of course, and make sure everything runs like clockwork, please welcome the Director of Communities at Active for today, Alexis Knock.
Thank you, Mick. Oh. Very kind.
We never got one of those, did we?
No, no, you didn't.
No, we never got one of those.
No.
Barely did then.
No. Thank you. I paid them all early before they came.
Yes, typical. Alexis, it's been another remarkable sports awards week. We started off at Southwell Leisure Centre on Tuesday, then moved on to Lowfields last night. So can you remind our audience of the award winners so far?
Yes, on Tuesday night we awarded Ben Greatbatch the Sam White Junior Volunteer of the Year Award. We also had three nominations for the Junior Disabled Sportsperson, and that went to Meg McFarlane, who's a very talented ice dancer and ice skater. Last night at Lowfields we presented the Senior Team of the Year to Newark Flowserve FC First Team. The senior sportsperson also was awarded last night to Nina Bradley. The club of the year went to Jaguars Wheelchair Basketball Club, and a special highly commended award went to Newark Striders Running Club. And we've got a further 7 awards to go out tonight.
If you could just tell our audience, Alexis, how we come about to judge the winners of the sports awards.
Judging the winners is a very, very difficult job, and we get a whole group of different people in a room. We did it about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Lots of different representatives of sports clubs.
So if I could invite a representative from the rugby club to come and receive your finalist certificate, please.
His way to the front here. It's been a fantastic year, an absolutely fantastic year for the rugby club. Now it's all finished, we're all in these wonderful premises tonight. Is it time to sit back and bask in the glory?
No, there's no sitting back, Mick, at all. It's going to be hard work from here on in to make sure that we can repay our loans and pay our way in future by letting this clubhouse and making full use of it.
Tony, you've been round the changing rooms here at Newark Rugby Club, and you likened them to another set of changing rooms you went to see.
Yeah, I was taken to Murrayfield for my birthday. I went for a long weekend in Edinburgh, and I got a guided tour around Murrayfield. And then a couple of weeks later, Rob Wellman, our Monday night rugby correspondent, took me around the dressing rooms here at Callum Road, and there was very little difference whatsoever. It was very, very similar. I've repeated that several times. I can see Picky with a great big grin on his face about that one. But it's basically, they are second to none in international terms. And when I first came to Callum Road 30-odd years ago, it was a little bit different then, but they've kept what you see around you. They've kept the spirit of the club, which was so important. And they've got fantastic facilities, as you can see. But they've kept the tradition of a proper rugby club.
And that was the task that we set Mr. Swain right at the beginning when he came into the studio. Do not lose what you've got at the rugby club. And I think, sir, you've managed to achieve to keep that Newark Rugby Club.
Yes, we've worked very hard to make sure that this is a recognisable rugby club. And we've got a lovely corner over in the far right of the room, which has got a lot of memorabilia in, and lots of photographs of teams in time's gone by. We've got all dusty hairs, shirts and caps over on the wall as you walk in. And we've done our best to retain the look and feel of the old clubhouse, whilst at the same time making sure that we've got a clubhouse which is suitable to be used for other functions as well.
How's the season going for the seniors? And there is a certain match coming up on Saturday that it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we haven't had the greatest season, to be fair. We went off like a train, and we've been beset by injuries and non-availability for one reason or another. In fact, I can tell you that we've played over 40 different guys in the first team this season, so it's been tough. And we had a good win against Matlock 2 weeks ago. It came unstuck against Melbourne on Saturday, but yes, the old enemy from Park Lane at Southall will be here on Saturday, and it's a day we always look forward to because a lot of friends at Southall, and it'll be keenly contested.
But I understand there is a certain score that needs settling, and to be put right, you've never beaten them in the league at Kenham Road.
We've beaten them on many, many occasions.
In the league.
In the league, if you say so, Mick. I haven't got the record books, but yeah, it'll be a good day out on Saturday. We all know each other very well, and the rugby's keenly contested, and we all have fun in the clubhouse afterwards.
And this, of course, is the Newark and Sherwood Sports Awards, but come on, Newark. Simple as. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Absolutely brilliant achievement. Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport, live from Kenham Road for the Newark and Sherwood 2018 Sports Awards. Junior sport in our area is second to none. Our primary schools are the envy of the county. Tony, did I mention to you at any of our shows the goal I scored for John Hunt in 1966 in the cup competition that is still running from the halfway line, left wing, cut in, top corner? Had I mentioned that?
I can well believe you did. You must have been about 40 then.
It's cruel. It's harsh. It's harsh. I was in my youth then. That cup competition is the oldest football cup competition still being played for in New York. That's how important school sport is. And of course, going on from school sport, our youngsters regularly appear on the world stage, and our teams battle with the best, and more often than not, they win. Being part of a team takes dedication. Friendship and memories are made for life in the sporting teams of this age group. To make this award, we welcome up the front here the chairman of Newark and Sherwood District Council, Councillor Keith Walker. we're making work, because it's his third consecutive night. So thank you very much, Councillor, for that. Alexis, over to you, and I think you're going to tell us who the finalists are.
I am, and in this category we had 5 nominations, and we selected 3 finalists who are here tonight. The other nominations that we had were from the 4A's Junior Canoe Team and the Newark Academy Indoor Kayaking Team. The finalists, however, were Tutoree Primary School Netball Team. Little cheer there. This team worked extremely hard.
Whoa.
Oh, we're going back.
Do that bit again. Okay. And back.
The finalists are Tutoree Primary School Netball Team. Thank you, that's better.
I mean, they're getting there, aren't they?
Yeah. We are still in.
I hope they're not going to pantomime. Are you going to pantomime?
Oh, no, we're not.
Okay, move on.
Right, this team worked extremely hard together to develop their netball skills and adapt to the way other teams played netball. They committed fully to every match and tournament, showing huge determination and perseverance. They were inspired by the previous teams before them to finish the highest place in the regional finals that the school has ever had in the last 4 years. They won the Newark and District Primary School Sports Association Autumn Tournament. They then went on to they also were the Netball League winners in the Newark and District Primary School Sports Association, winning 10 out of 10 games against other primary schools in the area. They were the Newark and Sherwood District Final winners, which then went on to the County Final, which then went on to the Regional Netball Final, and finally finishing off in fourth place.
You used to go netball, didn't you?
Used to be,
yeah. Still good at netball?
No, used to be.
Well, you take this lot on.
No chance.
So can we ask a representative from the netball team? Have we got a captain? Come on, a couple of you. Don't be shy.
That's right.
The next nomination, the next finalist, are Farnham Colts FC under 16s team. So this team had a very good season. The hard work that every player put in over the 17-18 season really paid off as they won the league without losing a game. After struggling for two seasons, being relegated and finishing sixth in the Notts Youth League Division 3 in 16-17. The 17-18 season was different though. The team pulled together, scoring 93 goals in total, were unbeaten in the league with 17 wins and 3 draws. They ended the season as the Notts Youth League Saturday Division 3 champions with the same players that finished sixth the year before. They had a positive goal difference of 70 and only 3 goals conceded in 9 games at their home ground at the Magnus Sports Centre. And they were awarded the Notts Youth League Fair Play Team of the Month in January 2018.
We need a couple of shy representatives from Farnham to come forward. That's what you call being press gang to come forward.
Well,
you see, they're not getting... There we go, that's it. By half past eight, they'll be very good at this. Right, and like this, Alfred.
Final finalist is the Tutoried Primary School hockey team. The school are very proud of the hockey team's achievements and they've been great ambassadors and role models to their peers and younger children. All of the players have been totally committed to working hard and improving their skills within the weekly school hockey club. They have inspired other children to become involved in hockey and the club has seen up to 40 enthusiastic participants who have thrived from working with the hockey team. They won the Sam White Hockey Competition, won the Newark and District Primary Schools Hockey League, winning every game, which was 14 schools. And they maintained a clean sheet and conceded no goals, scoring a whole 49 goals throughout the whole league.
And you know where we're going now? I say, look at this. These two have got it. Right, if you two want to stand up. Right, before we go on and do the awards, could I ask from Farnham, Alistair, to come forward, please? And could I ask from Tutoried, Amy, to come forward, please? What I'm going to do now is make you all wait while we talk to, first of all, Miss Fell. Radio Newark Sport likes primary school sports. We think it is so very important. It's not just the children, people have to organise primary school sports. So first of all, the teachers that put their time out after working hours, on a Saturday morning, evenings, so these youngsters can improve their sport. So first of all, this is our opportunity to big thank you to Miss Fell and to all the teachers in Newark and Sherwood who make our youngsters into the brilliant sports people they are. That's my take on primary school sports, Amy. What's your take?
Over the last few years, we've continued to have a huge push in the Newark area on primary school sports, so that now we have 18 primary schools all involved. And over the last couple of years especially, we've had lots more schools and teams involved in county finals, regional finals, individuals going to regional and national cross-country races. Sport in the primary schools is just on the up, and it's so important for children to be active, like you said, to work as part of a team, to inspire others, to coach and lead others. It just gives them that different skill set other than the classroom environment as well.
And that's why it is so important. Alistair, would you like to just... junior football in Newark took a little bit of a knock when the new Newark Youth League decided that they couldn't continue. Out of that, though, some of our teams went into Notts, some of our teams went into Lincolnshire. And a lot of them are enjoying great success. So, Alistair, Farnham success in the Notts League, playing against some very big not clubs, and you're more than holding your own.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these boys have been an absolute joy to coach. It's like an extended family, really. A lot of them have been together from under eights. They've developed and gelled as a team, and we went out there from under 12s into the wider Nottinghamshire leagues, and it took a while to adjust, but they've held their own, and they've definitely improved as a result of that experience.
How important is junior football in improving the skills of the football over winning at all costs?
I think it's crucial, and the FA and not FA are moving that way now. The leagues are also now working on that basis. The fact that it's out with the younger age groups are out with the YEL league, that's working on particularly matching teams up so that they can develop rather than seeing teams being beaten 10-0 each week or vice versa.
If you win 10-0 or you lose 10-0, you're getting nothing out of it, are you?
No, that's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. It's got to be a level.
So, the time has come. I've lost Alexis. There she is. You're riding. Alexis, come back into the middle, please. No, you're not, because the camera can't see and I get told off. So, off camera, Alexis, can we have the first of our finalists, please?
The first finalist is...
Drum roll,
please.
That's it.
Realise we were going this way. The first finalist is the Tutor Reid Primary School Hockey Team.
Well done, guys. Do you want to just step into the middle? One either side. That's it. And you can tell me who I'm talking to.
Harry Harper. Tobias Smith.
And hockey. Why hockey and not football?
Well, I do play both, but I just like playing hockey.
You see, he was multi-scored like I was when I was at the John and scored that special goal, Tony. Yeah, yes. No, you're right. So you like playing hockey. Do you want to go on and play hockey for New York Hockey Club?
If I get the chance, then I would, yeah.
Excellent. And hockey for you, is it?
I do football and hockey.
All-round sports people. You see, this one knew it so good because they're all brilliant. Well done, boys. There you go, the finalist in our competition. Right. And then it was down to two.
The other finalist is Tutory Primary School Netball Team.
Right, you want to come in the middle? That's right. Netball, so the same question really. Why netball, and are you better than the girls at it?
I pick netball because it's just not like football, and it's a bit different for boys to do it as well, so...
You didn't answer the question, though. Are you better than the girls at it?
Yeah.
Is he better than the girls? No. Sorry, your name was?
Harrison Fletcher.
You're Harrison, and you are?
Lucy May.
Lucy May. It's been a cracking season for netball, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
Do you watch England on television when they play netball?
Not really.
But if you carry on at Tutor Reid with Miss Fell teaching, you could be playing for England one day.
Hope.
Hopefully, I'm sure you will. Thank you very much. Do you want to just move over to that side? I think even I've worked out the next bit. drum roll, please. Alexis?
The winners of the Junior Team of the Year are Farnham Colts FC under 16 team.
Come on then, boys! Come on! Now! Boys! Alistair, will you get your team under control? Farnham Colts are very... I take it you come out to defence a bit quicker.
They're very shy.
We've got the shyest football team in Newark now coming up. Dear, oh dear. A cracking award, young man.
Yeah, absolutely delighted because the competition was tough, clearly. There's a lot of junior sport out there at all levels, so many sports, and it's just fantastic to see it being celebrated like this as well. So we're delighted that we've managed to win that one. But congratulations to the other finalists.
It was tough. It was very tough. Ladies and gentlemen, the winners of the Junior Sports Team of the Year for Newark and Sherwood, Farnham Colts. You went the whole season undefeated.
Yep, We played 20 games against, well, two games home and away against 10 other teams, and we drew three. I believe one was away at Mansfield. I can't remember the other two, but winning 17 was good achievement.
If you ever watch Match of the Day, the reporter always asks a question that the footballer doesn't want him to ask. So what happened at Long Bennington then?
Well, after beating them twice at the season before, we decided we'd give them 3 points. I think we went 2-0 down, we went 2-0 down and ended up trying to pull it back, but got it to 2-1, and then in the last minute, trying to nick a point, we conceded a third. But I think after a bit of probably bad luck from them last season, they did well to get 3 points against us, which they probably deserve.
And I got it down to dodgy refereeing, but there you go. Boys, thank you so much. Tutor Ead, as ever, stars. Thank you all so much. There we go, ladies and gentlemen, the junior sports teams. And as we said, when Tony joined me at Radio Newark Sport, I think since then the amount of young teams we've had in, youngsters we've had in, you've just been astounded, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you don't do is work with animals and kids, and Mick wants to bring kids in all the time, but I don't think Fawn and Colts are kids really, because I couldn't see over the heads and shoulders from them. No wonder they win. But no, it's fantastic. And when we get youngsters in the studio, they all start off tremendously shy. And then within 2 minutes, you can't get them to shut up. And the youngsters in the town are so eloquent and they speak so well. And they're an absolute credit to the town of Newark itself.
And as ever, Tony, profound words and absolutely spot on they are. Tension is building, still to come in this specially extended edition. It's tension. No, it's not building that much. The volunteer, the junior sports person, and the roll of honour still to come. But before we go on to the volunteer elections, I think you wanted to bring a young lady up for a quick chat.
Well,
unless you've changed your... She keeps changing her mind.
Where's she sitting? Natalia.
Natalia? Over here. Natalia, would you like to step forward, please?
Yes, sure.
Alexis, I'll leave it to you to explain.
Sorry, I put you on the spot there, didn't I? I'm sure you'll be fine. This is Natalia Postlethwaite from You Can Do Sport, and I'm not going to talk. I'm going to leave it to you. This is an opportunity for you to tell everybody here about your organisation and the stuff that it's doing in Newark.
Okay.
This is called Dropping You, and it's a great
heart. I was going to say, I've never really met anyone else with my name, so I was thinking, oh, there's another Natalia in the room. I wasn't prepared at all. I'm from You Can Do Sport. We're a brand new academy in Newark. We launched in September. We're based at YMCA Sports Village. We launched with football this year. We were intending to launch with rugby as well, but that will come next year, hopefully. We're launching netball next year as our second sport, but at the moment we're running with football. So it's a two-year program. You have to be 16 to 18 to come onto it. We deliver a BTEC Level 3 extended diploma in sport, so it's equivalent to 3A levels. 50% of the qualification you spend in the classroom, so you do traditional learning in everything to do with sport, from sports nutrition to sports physio to sports psychology. And the other 50% is practical training, so you spend 50% of your time out on the football pitch at the YMCA. We have three former professional football coaches on board with us as our coaches. Some of the names hopefully you might recognise, Ian McParland, Andy Reid and Gary Charles. We also have a gentleman who's in the background. I probably shouldn't mention his name at the moment, but Paul Hart is his name. You probably know him as well. He's a consultant coach of ours, so he advises us on stuff. You do your education at Magnus. Magnus have a fantastic reputation in sport education. They've got 100% pass rate. A star to AC, 70%, and everybody else gets through with a pass. As I say, it's a two-year course, and we're looking for an intake for next September. So if there's any students in here that are thinking they might want to play football and get a full education in sport, next September. We've got a trial coming up on Monday night.
They are a very shy bunch.
Yeah. They've met me, actually. They met me a couple of weeks ago. We did a football takeover session with the Farnham Colts, which was great. So we've got a football trial on Monday night, 5 o'clock at the YMCA, if anybody wants to come along.
Lovely. Thank you. You did really, really well.
As we said, you are listening to a very special edition of Radio Newark Sport, and along with the Newark and Sherwood Sports Award in this wonderful new facilities here at the Newark Rugby Club. To produce our sporting heroes, you need an excellent backroom team. And right at the pinnacle of that is the coach. The coach needs to be the best friend, the teacher, the soulmate, the guide, and the boss. To present the Newark and Sherwood Coach of the Year Award, we welcome back the Chair of the Leisure and Environment Committee, Councillor Roger Jackson. Alexis, could you do the honours, please?
I can, and I'm going to tell you straight about the winner. We're going to go straight into the winner. The winner of this award spends the majority of their spare time with the club. He saw the need for developing sport for girls in Newark, took that need, working with other club volunteers, and has turned it into a great success. Trains the junior girls, followed by the ladies, who he's shaped into a great team. He manages his team on a Sunday morning and then will often be seen supporting the ladies' team. The football sessions in Newark has enabled over 60 girls aged 4 to 12 to take part in football, which has now entered two teams in the local girls' leagues. He's supported the coach of the ladies' football team for Newark over 5 years. He runs the Saturday club and has increased the numbers significantly, developing the players in the age of 4 to 7. As well as all of this, has completed extra coaching qualifications to support the club and his teams. So this year's winner of the Coach Award goes to Mark Nesbitt.
Mark Nesbitt now coming towards the front here to collect the Coach of the Year Award. Well done, Mark. Brilliant.
Just can't do it without you.
Mark, I said you've got to be the boss, the coach, the dad, the mentor. You've got to be everything, but it's been a momentous year.
Yeah, it's been incredible, yeah. Overwhelmed and honoured by this as well. But yeah, it's to be a good coach, you need players that want to get coached, and or even these girls, everyone have been coaching this year. They've all paid attention, listened, and reap the rewards in the future.
These girls have got a job to do later on tonight. Do you think they'll be able to do it?
Absolutely, yeah. They do a job from every Sunday. Great job as well.
We're also going to ask to come up to the front here, Carla Brown, who's the club secretary at Newark Town. And please welcome Carla. I think the thing about Newark Town, Carla, it is a team effort, and Mark quite rightly picks up the award, but you've got lots of coaches in Newark Town.
We have, yeah, and they all give a lot of time, a lot of their own spare time to the kids that they coach. We've got over 250 children registered with us in the junior section. All the managers work tirelessly, but also us behind the scenes, so the secretary, the PR side of things, the board of directors, everybody's a volunteer. Everybody does what they can to make the club the best it can be.
And somebody else I'm going to drag up, of course, is the one and only Sarah Robinson. Sarah. The look on your face when Alexis was doing the talking said how proud you was for Newark Town, for Mark.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the club is so privileged to have somebody like Mark in the club, because his boundless energy and enthusiasm, has no hold, really. So we're chuffed a bit. Absolutely thrilled for him.
Girls football, then. Ladies football. Where does it stand? Because I think girls football, girls rugby, girls cricket, ladies and all three of those are on par with the men these days.
They're better, to be fair. You come down on Sunday morning, watch them play. Some of the goals they score is incredible. Teamwork, train harder, listen. But just want to say one thing, though. The saying about behind every good man there's a woman, I've got two. So I'm lucky there.
Oh, and that's sweet. How difficult has it been getting girls and ladies to play football? I've known, I've been little bit involved with the rugby girls down here, and it was hard at the beginning, but once you got it rolling, these rugby girls are second to none in the country. Is that the way it can go? And once you've got it started?
No. Mark and I had a dream. What, about October 2017, I think it was. We said, there's no girls' football in Newark. What can we do? So I was getting ready to have a meeting, sit down with lots of people, talk about it. Next thing, Mark's thrown something out on social media, starting a girls' development centre, come down on Sunday, and then within 4 or 5 weeks, we got nearly 60 kids. Thank you. It was, and yes, and brought Steve Turr on board, who is our man of the match at the moment. He's running the development centre while Mark's off doing the managing of his team. But I was nervous. I was nervous thinking that there wouldn't be any uptake, and we did so much of media with the Newark Advertiser and yourselves, and social media's helped a lot as well. But the amount of girls that have wanted to play and that we've had has been absolutely amazing. And then working alongside that, I wanted to get the ladies team back. So the last time Newark Town had a ladies team, it was 2013. So again, with Mark, we put a shout out, said anybody want to play, and I was contacted by Julie Roberts, who said she'd like to manage the team. She came along. So one evening in, I think it was July, we had 24 ladies come down who wanted to play football for Newark Town. And then very quickly we realised that we had the makings of a great team. So we have entered them into the league. They're in the senior league and they're currently sitting fifth. So they're doing amazingly well.
You are right in what you said. You need a good PR team behind. You need somebody who's forever sending messages out and emails out and saying, can we come on and we've got something to tell you. Can't think who that is.
Do you mean me, Mick?
I do mean you, Mick.
Well, I think it's the way of the world now, isn't it? I mean, social media is the only way to go, and all the clubs that are here tonight will obviously be using social media to get their message out and recruit and so on and so forth. So yeah, we need to be up there with the best of them, and here you are.
And you most certainly are. Councillor, you've just heard about these wonderful youngsters, and of course now with the help of Newark and Sherwood, Newark Town Council, Newark and Sherwood District Council, we've got the wonderful sports village, of which Newark Town are going to be on there, and some of the other leading clubs in this town are going to be on there. A fantastic new facility.
Excellent new facility. Yeah, the YMCA have done a wonderful job there. We've got the new running track as well, and they're going to build some buildings there and do some teaching there as well. It's great encouragement for young people. I mean, Newark now has got a wonderful sports facilities for young people to start playing sport and play sport as well. I mean, this is a classic example here at the Rugby Club.
It is absolutely fantastic. Your Coach of the Year, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Nesbitt. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you. Tony, when you've been talking about sport, as long as we've been talking about sport, and you've put more headlines than you care to remember that Newark has got no facilities, and I've moaned and grumbled to everybody that would listen, and most that wouldn't, that Newark has got no facilities. In the last 18 months, we've got a fantastic new leisure centre. We've got the sports village now up and running. This, as you've already said, is second to none. There's a new cricket pitch going up over the road at Newark R&M, and FlowServe have got floodlights, which is something we never dreamt would ever happen. You got into trouble, didn't you, really, with a certain tall American from the YMCA, because Tony said it was all a fantasy. Tony.
Yeah. Hi, Rod, if you're listening. No, I just said I believe it when I see it. And, you know, I mean, we're little Newark. We don't get great facilities. You know, we've got fantastic athletes at Newark AC who have risen to the top of athletics despite their facilities. They've got the best cross-country track in the country, you know, at the Grove. But we've now got fantastic facilities at FlowServe, at the Sports Hub. And I was sitting watching a training session at the Sports Hub and just thinking to myself, going back only 18 months, 2 years, we had nothing. And suddenly it's like someone's come along with a magic wand and gone, bang, 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 there you go. And we must be the envy of the country.
We most certainly are. And this time next year, apart from being millionaires, we're going to have world champions here. I'm sure we are, because the facilities we've got, there's going to be absolutely no stopping them. Next up on our list is the Volunteer of the Year. And of course, as important as the coaches, as important as the players are, if those people didn't work in the background, none of this would happen. So coming right up is the Volunteer of the Year.
Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport, live here from Newark Rugby Club. Our sports stars are the heroes, as we said, and quite rightly so. But without the volunteers that work tirelessly in the background, we will not have any stars to talk about. Alexis.
Yes, we're going to present the Volunteer of the Year Award, and I would like to welcome Jeanette Hughes from Newark Youth Trust to come and make this presentation. Thanks, Jeanette. What? Thanks for being an impromptu presenter tonight.
I'm very honoured. Thank you very much for asking me.
I think it's an opportunity for you to talk about the Newark Youth Trust and what it does for Newark.
Yeah, lovely. Well, Newark Youth Trust is a charity that supports other charities in ways of funding. So if there are any groups in the Newark and Newark area, then what we do is ask them to apply for funding in order to support young people in sport activities, education, all those sorts of things. So if anybody knows of any groups, and they have to be a charity, then we would love to hear from them.
Alexis, then, we have got three finalists. Could you tell us the finalists? And we'll have the finalists up here, I think.
Okay.
First one.
The first one is Mark Nesbitt. We've already heard.
I think we know that story.
No, I've got a bit
you
more
to say. You say it again. Yeah. It's in the script.
No, I've got a few more bits to share about his volunteering nomination. He's established a close working relationship with a mentoring programme with Nottingham Forest Ladies. He's arranged a visit to Wembley to watch the Women's Cup final, arranged holiday club days, visits to Forest to meet the squad and be mascots and other club social gatherings for players and their families and bringing the club together. He sacrifices time with his own family and is always there to support the club with pitch repairs, tournament days and day-to-day club matters. Our next finalist in the Volunteer of the Year category is Emma Jessop.
Emma, would you like to?
Emma joined Newark Athletics Club when she was 7 and competed at all disciplines at county level until she was 17, until an injury prevented her from continuing as a competitive athlete. With her love of athletics, Emma decided to train as a coach to develop younger athletes to achieve their potential. She has a natural rapport with the younger members of the club. Her preparation is meticulous and her commitment is absolute. She only takes 2 weeks off a year from leading her sessions. She's not only the under-11s lead coach, but in the last year has become the club coaching coordinator, the club welfare officer, the first aider, and also produced a risk assessment for training at the new academy, which has been approved by England Athletics. During the past year, she's been one of the key members of the team in developing the plans for the transition for the club to their new training facility at the Sports Village. Emma's list of achievements, commitment to the club and dedication to her athletes is phenomenal. And at only 23 years of age, she's been an outstanding volunteer in every respect.
And Alexis, our third finalist.
Our third finalist is a duo. Alan Swain and David Pick from Newark Rugby Club. David and Alan have played a joint part in the redevelopment of this clubhouse here at Callum Road. The club in the last year has completed a 5-year project to completely refurbish the facilities at a cost of £1.4 million. The partnership, with David being the project manager and Alan leading the fundraising team, has been one of the biggest projects undertaken by any sports club in the district. This has been done by a united effort across all of its teams, from under six to the seniors. In total, the membership raised well over £600,000 to support funds, available by many other organisations, which have been from Sport England, the RFU, Newark Town Council and the County Council. So could we have our third finalist up, please?
David. Alan Swain is not actually with us tonight. So the current president is coming up in Alan Swain's place. So, gentlemen, would you like to join at the front here? Mark, have you won anything lately?
Next event as well, coming up in January. Going to see Forest Ladies third round FA Cup.
But again, it's a different role, volunteer to coaching, but it's such an important role.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, time. Just given time, what you get back out of it is double what you put in. So it's worth it all the time.
Emma, it's the hardest possible thing to be a sports person to get an injury while very young. It's even harder to go back to the club and put something back in it. I admire you tremendously for that. That is a fantastic effort, ladies and gents. So, Emma Jessop at the Athletic Club, what's the role?
So, I am the coaching coordinator, but I mainly coach the under-9 and under-11 group, and that's on Tuesday and Thursday evenings, but I also do a couple of other job roles as well.
See, we chat to Newark AC regularly. We have the privilege of talking to the twins every Tuesday night, and for the last 2 weeks, they spoke to us from the Sports Village. In fact, the first ever race at the Sports Village took place live on Radio Newark Sport when both those two was running with a mobile phone with them. What is the Sports Village going to do for Newark Athletic Club?
It's going to bring in so many people. It's absolutely incredible. We've waited so long for it. And again, like Tony said, we literally said we'll believe it when we see it. Because it was just all an idea for so long. But
not just me.
You got the blame.
It's going to bring so many people to Newark to compete, to train. Our club's just going to grow and grow.
And there's a shot put area going up and everything, isn't it? It's going to be a proper athletics club, not just a cross-country club.
No, not just running. Going to be track and field. We've got pole vault strip. We've got shot put, hammer cage. We've got long jump, triple jump pits. We've got everything.
When are we going to see the first athletics club meeting at the Sports Village?
Fingers crossed, we're going to get a thing called the Club Championships going again, which is just what we used to do. And then hopefully when we get our competition licence, we'll be able to join like the league competitions and actually host our own match.
And then you won't have to go to Cleethorpes for your home match.
Exactly.
That's how bad it's been. They have to go to Cleethorpes to play a home match. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I can't let tonight go without talking about a couple of the young stars that come on Radio Newark on a regular basis, Joseph Monk and Amelia Crispin. They are going to benefit from this new track, and I think both of them have got bright futures.
They really have, yeah. Yeah, they're doing amazing, and that was just with a grass track on the Grove Field, so imagine what they can do with a brand spanking new track.
We look forward to it. Emma, thank you so much. I was around here. I'm old enough to know what this clubhouse looked like a few years ago. I'm not quite old enough to remember when they used to get changed behind one of the local hostelries on Castlegate and walk up here and have to go back there as the Royal Oak. I'm not quite that old, but we've come an awful long way, and I know you're going to tell me it's been a team effort, but without yourself and Alan, quite simply, this would not have happened.
It was a team effort. Yes, every good team needs a leader, and I was fortunate to be asked, literally I was pleased to be asked 5 years ago to put a proposal together to replace what was our ageing and falling to bits clubhouse. And we had a false start in 2013. We got Alan involved on the fundraising side because basically the Sport England team said it's a great proposal, but you haven't got any money. So we'll give you some money, but you've got to raise some money of your own. So Alan came on board. So Alan put together a team of people, what we call Building Our Future, the BOF team, who basically took on the fundraising, and I took on the construction aspect of it.
Stage one, stage two, stage three. Was there ever a time in your mind that tonight was never going to happen?
No, I don't. I've been involved in a lot of big construction projects. The thing is, you know, get it planned out right. And most important thing, you know, is making sure the funding's there. So, you know, we've got some great, we've had some great fundraising events. People have been very generous. Club members have been very generous. And some of the old boys in the club have been particularly generous with their own personal finances of it. So if you've got the money, you know, we put the plan together. We tinkled it a little bit every now and then during the three phases. But it is substantially, as I saw it about 4 years ago, and, you know, delivered on price within a few pounds and on programme. You know, we finished in September, so.
Mr. Fern, so would you like to just step in? I mean, we spoke to you about this already now, so proud everybody is. What I want from you now, though, is your thoughts, the Rugby Club thoughts, on Mr. Pick and Mr. Swain.
They've been absolutely fantastic, and I haven't got words which describe their effort. Adequately. Alan has masterminded the fundraising. He's been inventive. He's twisted arms. He's never taken no for an answer. And he's been a tower of strength on the funding side. David Pick here has been equally strong on the construction side. And the great thing about what David has done, he's done it totally professionally, but with great humour at the same time. And he's engaged with some of our older members on a Tuesday, for instance. We call them the Tuesday team. And sometimes it's been a couple of dozen volunteers every Tuesday for two or three years who've done all the jobs which we don't need professional contractors to do. And they have saved us tens of thousands of pounds. And the whole thing, and Alan would say this if he were here, has been, and indeed David has said it, the whole thing has been a magnificent club effort. It's been a sustained effort. It's been a total contribution by the whole club, from the under sixes right up to the club board. And there haven't been any dissenting voices, and everybody's delighted with what we've got now.
Absolutely fantastic. And one more quick question, David, which is probably even more important than any of this.
It's not where's the pig's eye, is it?
No, it's how you're going to win on Saturday.
Well, yes, we hope so, yeah. Local derby, so yes, we'd like to come away with a win. Sorry, Roger.
we're not biased, are we, Tony? No, we're not biased. Come on, Newark. Right, she's hiding again. Alexis, would you like to tell us who the first of our finalists are, please?
Well.
And for this, we need a drum roll.
We swapped in it.
That was a round of applause. We need a drum roll. That's better.
Our first finalist is Emma Jessup.
Emma Jessup. That's it. Lovely. So Emma Jessup. Emma, don't go away yet. Our second finalist, please, Alexis,
is Mark Nesbitt.
And even I've worked this out, so drum roll. The winners of the Volunteers of the Year Award, Alexis, are
David Pick and Alan Swain, received by Andrew Fern.
Fantastic. And Mr. Wildman joins us. Good evening, Robert. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, our volunteers, and without them, please believe this, without them, you wouldn't be playing any sport whatsoever. A big round of applause for them. Thank you very much, our volunteers. Thank you. There you go then, Tony. I think that was, again, another category when all three had a remarkable chance of winning it, and all three have a cracking argument for winning it, but for what's happened here, is just remarkable.
It's a very sad thing about sport that there can only be one winner, because there were three tremendous efforts there. In fact, Mark was standing next to me and he went, "I hope Emma wins it because she deserves it." But I mean, obviously, you know, well done, Alan and Picky. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
Normally, we'd be saying goodnight by now, but you've got us for another half an hour. And in the last half an hour, to massive, massive awards to come. Stay with us. Don't go away. Radio Newark Sports going into overtime.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Welcome back to the renowned Radio Newark Sport, live from Newark Rugby Club, as we turn our attention to the Junior Sportsperson of the Year. Warwick Lane was taken from us earlier this year after losing a brave battle against leukemia. He reported on local sport right up until those final few days. He would call Mick and Tony and excitedly tell him a new name. "You must talk to this person," he would say, and another local sports person would be made into a media star, both on the back pages and on the radio. That was the kind, thoughtful person Rick was. He worked to promote sport, his passion. His name will be remembered forever, as with the permission of his parents, this award now becomes the Warwick Lane Junior Sportsperson of the Year. A massive thanks to the girls of the Newark Town Football Club, who are forming a guard of honour in their Warwick's Warriors football kit. Round of applause for the girls. To present this award, please welcome from Radio Newark Sport, Mick Bradley, and Rick's close friend and colleague from the Newark Advertiser, Dan Churcher. Alexis, can we please have the finalists?
I can.
You might have to squeeze forward.
I will squeeze forward. In this category, we had 8 nominees altogether, and we selected 3 finalists. But I just wanted to mention the 8 nominees that were all nominated. It was a very tough decision, as we've already said. The other nominees were Isabella Chapman, Joseph Monk, Paige Jones, Charlotte Maiden and Elizabeth Wilson. And then we have 3 finalists, and they are Olivia Whitelaw. Olivia rides her pony 5 times a week, regardless of the weather or dark at night after school, training regularly with her trainer. Olivia also gets support from a personal trainer, strength and conditioning equestrian specialist, sports psychologist, to ensure that she's mentally in the best place to handle the pressure involved when riding at an international level. She's had a fantastic year and been selected for Great Britain on 3 occasions, with competitions taking in place in Kiso near Milton Keynes, Hickstead in West Sussex and Le Mans in France. At these competitions, she was successful in winning the International Equestrian Federation CDIP Cur at Hickstead in July, then a second placing in the individual competition. She won the British Dressage Under 25's National Championship FEI Pony Class in August, and then went on to win the British Dressage Under 25's National Championship. Olivia mentors other younger GB pony dressage riders and writes regularly social media blogs on her Facebook page to try and inspire her 900 followers, many of whom are young, and see her as proof that hard work and dedication, great things can be achieved. Our second finalist is Libby Johnson. Libby earned a call-up to the England under-17 girls indoor team to play in New Zealand. Not only did she work hard in trials to get there, but she's also done a lot of fundraising along with her mum to raise the £3,500 that she needed to go to represent her country. Any extra proceeds that she made in the process have been donated to Farndon Cricket Club as a kind gesture of their support. She plays at weekends for the club in the men's team, showing no fear or intimidation, and has played for the various Notts age groups through the years. The chairman of Farndon Cricket Club said it was an honour to have a young female player with a big passion for cricket wanting to play for the club. Our third finalist is Jenny Bryan. Jenny shoots for Sherwood Archers and represents Great Britain at the age of 15. Unfortunately, she sustained a rotator cuff injury in November 2017 and was told her injury would never repair. She had to stop all sport for 5 months and to stand a chance of it healing. In April this year, though, she started on the long road to recovery with physio, and in May she was allowed to return to the sport. It didn't take long to return to the top. Jenny qualified and competed in her first international event, the Youth European Championship held in Greece, gaining an individual and team silver medal, breaking a European record along the way. She then went on to compete for regional teams, leading to junior nationals and junior Euro Nations Championships in July. Jenny is currently ranked first at under 16s, fourth at under 18s and 24th in the seniors.
Shall we please invite the finalists to the stage area?
have Jenny with her with us tonight. Unfortunately, she's had a school engagement, but we have her
mum.
Thanks, Mum, for coming.
Yeah.
Let me just get the award. Oh, finalist first. Right, and the finalists in the Warwick Lane Junior Sports Person of the Year. The first finalist is Jenny Bryan.
Our second finalist this evening is Libby Johnson.
So our winner is Olivia Whitelaw.
Absolutely fantastic. Just going to have a quick chat. So, Mum, how's Jenny doing? From you, from a personal level, I mean, it's a lot for you to do as well as a mum. It's a lot of commitment from a parent's point of view. So how do you find it all in progress?
It's complicated for me because you have to be everywhere at every time. But Jenny is doing fantastic. She's just won the British Championships last weekend and she's now ranked first in the under-18s for 2018.
Fantastic. Are you allowing her a little bit of time off for Christmas?
She's got her GCSEs, which is why she can't be here at the minute, because she's totally studying.
Oh, bless it. It's all go, isn't it? Congratulations, Libby. How are you finding your training at the moment?
All right, yeah. I'm training for the under-21 England team now, and then trialling again for South Africa in 2020.
So it's going to be a busy year for next year, then. What have you got coming up in the near future?
I've got my Nottinghamshire under-17 training and season coming up next season, and then training for the under-21 women's team as well.
Fantastic. The best of luck. And now this evening, congratulations, Olivia. I mean, it's been one big year for you, hasn't it? I mean, aside from the fact that obviously tonight is going to be the best night for you, what was the highlight of all your awards with Great Britain and everything you've done this year?
I think at Hickstead, when we won our first international, that was my highlight of the year because I've had my pony from the very start. So going through all the levels has been difficult, but to get that achievement was amazing.
And I've noticed that you're quite a social media star as well. I mean, how important do you find that? I mean, as everybody knows, it's all about Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. But from your point of view, you really are an inspiration to others. So what else do you find that you get out of that?
I think social media is great for promoting sport because dressage is quite limited in the amount of publicity it gets. So to publish everything on social media just really helps raise awareness about sport.
Fantastic. And what have we got to look forward to from next year for you?
Well, my aim for next year would be the Pony Europeans in Poland, and then my long-term goal would be the Olympics.
Fantastic. So we've seen it here first. Olivia Whitelaw, congratulations, all three girls, and well done. Good luck for the future. Round of applause, ladies and gents.
Absolutely fantastic. Vicky, you did a wonderful job there. The question that we ask Olivia when she come into the sports show is, how do you make a horse fly? Because I saw a picture with all four legs off the ground at once, so the questions was a lot more probing. Dan, it's right that, and wonderful gesture, that Newark and Shield Council and Active for Today are remembering your friend.
Yeah, very much so. I'd just like to say thank you for myself and on behalf of the advertiser, really, for what you've done. Rick was a tremendous character and we miss him terribly, and this is such an honour. And he would have been humbled but proud. And I'd just like to, again, say thank you so much.
I'll come back to Rick in a few minutes' time. But, Dan, thank you very much. For the moment, thank you so much. Vicky, of course, who you will have realised by now, is the glamorous half of the Matt and Vicky breakfast show in the morning, which I'm sure you all wake up to 6 o'clock on Radio Newark in the morning for 4 hours of banter and the odd piece of music. But that's the glamorous half of Matt and Vicky. That's the other half of Matt and Vicky, and this gives me an opportunity now to, in public, thank Matt in particular so much for what he's done this week. He's sat in the background. He's the one that's making all this work. He's the one that's making it all go out on air. So, Matt, My thanks, Radio Newark Sports, thanks for all your efforts this week. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Matt Colburn. The Roll of Honour is the final set of awards. Well, she's gone again. Where's she gone now? She's there. You was that side a minute ago. I'm glad I'm not married to you. I never know where you was next.
Yeah, I'm elusive.
You're elusive. And he recognises a special band of sportsperson who has given the lifetime to Newark and Sherwood Sport. I personally call this a lifetime achievement award, but Alexis tells me off for doing that. But whatever you call it, it means the same thing. It's somebody who's given their life to a club, to a team, to an organisation. Very special, Alexis, isn't it?
It is, but it doesn't have to be something over 40 years or 50 years or 5 years. There's no time span on this award. Sorry. All the rest of the awards are season. So every award that we presented in this week is all around the last sports season, summer season, or the last winter season. This award could be a lot longer period.
The sports awards have been going for 2006.
I can't
work that out.
13 years.
13 years. They've been going 30 years. And I think there's 18 names.
There are.
On there. And this one is not in the same as the others. You don't have to have a winner. The Academy decides if it's worthy or it's not worthy enough. And, well, you'll see as it goes on for the next 10 minutes. We welcome back the chairman of Newark and Shield District Bank, Councillor Keith Walker. Mr. Walker, for the last time for the Sports Awards for this week, would you like to come forward again, please? And this gives me an opportunity on behalf of Radio Newark and Active for Today to thank Newark and Shield District Council. It's, in this current economic climate, it would be the easiest thing in the world for NSDC saying, no, we're not interested in that, just forget them, we'll save a few bob. They haven't done that. They've supported it. They've helped us out. And they've been here on all three nights. So thank you so much, sir. We do appreciate that. We really do. Alexis, we've got two reveals.
We have.
The first reveal, please.
Right. We've actually heard about two of our winners that are going on the Roll of Honour tonight. Not only have these chaps led the five-year development of this clubhouse, they've been with the club for many years beforehand, taking on a variety of roles. If you haven't worked out who I'm talking about, yes, we're talking about Alan and David again. Again, a joint nomination.
Well,
that's all right.
You'll be all right.
So, in addition to creating and developing this huge project that finished this year, Alan was also president of the club. David has managed the Tuesday team, writing many grant applications between them, fundraising, between them both, being on site for the whole development and generally being huge assets to the club. Alan and David are going on the Roll of Honour tonight.
Gentlemen. Alexis. Alexis is just now getting the honours ready, and we should know by now. You should know by now. But the Academy thought that what's happened here needed recognition, and it needed recognition on the Wall of Honour of Newark Sport forever.
That's really kind. I feel a total fraud, Mick, because it's Alan Swain who should be getting this honour. Sadly, he's not here tonight, but I'm very, very honoured to accept it on his behalf.
I think we can probably do a little presentation at Boxing Day to Alan, don't you?
That'd be really nice.
I think we can do that.
Yeah. While he's sober.
While he's sober, yes. I'll get here at the beginning. Yeah. 9 o'clock. Alexis, we have another name.
We do.
The Academy, as I love to call you, quite rightly thought worthy of this wonderful honour.
Our next recipient of the Roll of Honour Award is Graham Jackson of Balderton Cricket Club.
Graham has been involved with Balderton Cricket Club for over 60 years, as a player for over 45 years and as a captain for a number of those. The nominator said that ever since they started playing cricket, Graham has been an integral part of the club. Without him, there is no doubt the club wouldn't be where it is today. He's currently chairman, which he's been for a very long time. He gives up a lot of his time to score throughout the playing season for the first team on both Saturday and Sunday. He runs the bar, organises events, cleans up, and generally is Mr. Balderton Cricket Club. His family and his wife Sandra often don't see a lot of him during the summer months, as he spends most of his time at the club, generally making sure the club is in great hands on and off the field. If you mention Balderton Cricket Club to anyone locally, the first name that comes to mind is Graham. Graham is an extremely worthy nominee for the huge and tireless effort he has put into the club for over 60 years. So our recipient, other recipient of the Roll of Honour, is Graham Jackson.
The 21st name to go on the Roll of Honour, Graham Jackson.
Well done, Graham. This does give me pleasure because I know you very well.
You do, yes. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
Graham, quite simply, you are Mr. Balderton Cricket Club.
No, it takes more than one man. You've described the rugby club, takes a lot of people. We've got a strong committee and run the club well. And I've got three people here tonight supporting me. One who nominated me, who I didn't know anything about until a week ago. And he said, you've got to be free on Thursday, December the 6th. And this is David Lynn. I said, why is that then? And he didn't really want to tell me, but I insisted. So here I am. And the three that have supported me are all former captains of the club, which is David himself, and he is the current captain. Former ones, Paul Moon and Alan Jackson. So I'll thank them for turning up tonight. I'd also like to thank, very importantly, the tea ladies who do the teas for us every Saturday and Sunday, and their four names are Judith Revel, Mel Tranter, Sandra Jackson, and Chantel Welsher.
The one he nearly forgets is the wife.
Well, generally, our teas are regarded as one of the better ones in the area, which is always, also goes down very well. And all in all, you know, the club is run by a lot of people, a lot of hard work. We have a junior section that takes quite a bit of running. And these three people I've just mentioned all came to the club through what was the former Grove Comprehensive School. They're all Balderton lads, and nearly all of our team in those days was from Balderton Comprehensive School. But as everybody knows, since it became the Grove Academy, no more cricket. So we do have to stretch a little bit further afield now. And it is not easy, as you know, and probably everybody knows, that cricket nowadays is not so popular, I wouldn't just say locally, in Nottinghamshire, probably England, as it used to be. And teams do struggle. So we are very grateful for all these people that still play for us. And David this year has done a great job in getting the team promotion to the top division of the South Notts League. And so thank you, David, and the team for doing that. And basically, I think that's all I've got to say.
Well, it's not quite all you've got to say, because Sandra and Alan, would you like to come up, please? That's still a smile off your face. Sandra, whenever anybody talks about cricket team, you talk to Collingham, it's the Pipes. If you talk to Balderton, it is the Jacksons. And even though he nearly forgot your name, how many years have you been married, Mrs. Jackson?
53.
53 years, and he very nearly remembered a name. Sandra, though, in all those 53 years, every single summer, you lose him.
I do, yes. And in the winter. He goes nearly every day to the cricket club.
Because quite simply, he is the cricket club.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not having that.
You are.
Well, he's... Yes, it does a lot, but he has got a lot of friends there. So, yes, we love it.
Alan, you came in to see us on the sports show a couple of weeks ago, and both Tony and I forgot to tell you about this. But we did talk about father at the time, didn't we? And, you know, you've said on the show that he is, and I know he's going to say it again, but, you know, you've got big footsteps to follow.
Well, yeah, certainly have. Probably too big, actually, but I'll do my best to follow in his footsteps. Will be a hard job, but we'll give it a go. But without him, I don't, like David said in his nomination, I don't know quite where Balderton Cricket would be. But he does a fantastic job, as does my mum. You know, she sits in the background there, but she does a fantastic job well.
You've got to have a good mum in the background, you're right. Ladies and gentlemen, these people, two different jobs, two fantastic clubs. They are the reason those clubs are fantastic. On to the roll of honour. Our three names tonight. Please give them a round of applause.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Get your photos afterwards. Okay. Don't go. I thanked Matt. We thanked Newark and Sherwood District Council, which leaves this young lady here and the team that she runs. Active for Today used to be the Newark and Sherwood Sports Development. It is one of the best development sport teams anywhere in the country. Fact. Definite fact. The fact that they work and put this on, they're working behind the scenes to help Balderton, Newark, any club that they can help find a bit of revenue, find a grant, find a sponsorship. They are there to do it. Nobody knows what's going off in the background, but without Active for Today, Newark and Sherwood would be nowhere near as good as they are. So for this week, Alexis, because we've worked you very hard this week, for this week and for the whole year, Active for Today.
Well, hang on. Don't talk. It's my turn. It's my turn, Mick. It's a team effort, as everybody said, and the team are all here tonight. But I've got to personally thank Mick and Tony and Matt and Vicky for helping us to put this on. It's a different dimension to the previous years where we've had a formal presentation evening. But without Mick and Tony and the team doing all of this, it takes a lot to do. Mick is a volunteer. He's a volunteer like all you chaps here. We're all volunteers trying to raise the profile of sport. So we are eternally grateful for you helping us out, Mick. Thank you.
It's for Newark Sport. And under normal circumstances, I would say thank you and good night. But this year, unfortunately, has been
off from normal. This is going to be hard work. Dad, help me, please. This is going to be hard work, but I'm going to do it. When I was at Boundary Sound as a sports reporter on a Sunday morning, I got a phone call. Can my son come in and do some reporting? He's a bit shy, but he loves his football. And this young lad came in and sat with me in the studio, and we bonded together. That young lad went on to university, and then he came back to Newark as the advertiser's sports reporter. At the end of the day, those nice words that Alexis said, I thank you for. But if somebody said to me, what have you achieved in local radio? The answer quite simply is, I started Rick Lane off in his career. Rick Lane turned out to be one of the nicest young men you could ever meet. He was a journalist that was trusted by everybody. If you said to him, Rick, I'm going to tell you this, but please don't say anything, you know full well that is as far as it would go. I have never met in my life a nicer man. Dan, your turn.
It's difficult to follow that. Rick was an exceptional character. His integrity was second to none. Everybody who met him instantly liked him. We miss him as a newsroom, as a company, as a community, all of the time. The world's a lesser place without such characters. Exceptional person. Back to you.
Tony, while I really get to meet you, a few words on Rick, please.
Yeah, you might know this.
I've got one, don't worry.
Best thing I can say about Rick is that he never actually said a bad word about anybody, and that is very rare in life in life in general. So, he's just a top bloke, and we tried to keep it secret, as much as we could. But we got Richard here tonight, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be here.
Thank you for coming, Richard. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Richard is his dad, and he should be a very, very proud dad.
When we did our show for Rick, we ended up with a piece of music. We never play music on the sports show, but the last conversation I had with Rick, he told me he'd got a bucket list, and in 2019 he was going to see George Ezra. So Shotgun is now Rick's song. Before that though, with great thanks to Newark and Sherwood District Council and to Active for Today, the 22nd name on the Roll of Honour is Warwick Lane.